We're continuing chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. It was nearly midnight when Harry left Umbridge's office again that night. His hand was now bleeding so severely that it was staining the scarf he'd wrapped around it. He had expected the common room to be empty when he returned, but Ron and Hermione had sat waiting for him. He was pleased to see them, especially as Hermione was disposed to be sympathetic rather than critical. "Here," she said anxiously, pushing a small bowl of yellow liquid toward him. "Soak your hand in that. It's a solution of strained and pickled mertlap tentacles. It should help." Harry placed his bleeding, aching hand into the bowl and experienced a wondrous feeling of relief. Crookshanks curled around his legs, purring loudly, and then leapt into his lap and settled down. "Thanks," he said gratefully, scratching behind Crookshanks' ears with his left hand. "I still reckon you should complain about this," said Ron in a low voice. "No," said Harry flatly. "McGonagall would go nuts if she knew." "Yeah, she probably would," said Harry. "And how long do you think it would take Umbridge to pass another decree saying anyone who complains about the High Inquisitor gets sacked immediately?" Ron opened his mouth to retort, but nothing came out, and after a moment he closed it again in a defeated sort of way. "She's an awful woman," said Hermione in a small voice. "Awful. You know, I was just saying to Ron when you came in, we've got to do something about her." "I suggested poison," said Ron grimly. "You know, like, seriously, actually.
Yeah.
There are cases in which murder is okay. And one is when someone tortures you. I'm deadly serious about this, you know. She's an inquisitor. She's endangering their lives.
She's an inquisitor. She's endangering their lives.
Yeah. Or at the least, if they found some way of exposing the whole detention thing, I mean, yeah, the parents are, like, annoyed with Harry, but it's not like they would encourage a boy getting, you know, his hand cut up like that.
Right.
For, you know, that's torture, and that's...
Well, Malfoy would, but that's
different. Yeah, Malfoy would, but I mean, the most parents, you know?
Right.
Like, if they could find some way of videotape, I don't know what kind of videotapes they use, you know?
Right, I know.
But
it seems like they really do that.
It seems like they're not very good at things.
Yeah.
"No, I mean, something about what a dreadful teacher she is, and how we're not going to learn any defense from her at all," said Hermione. "Well, what can we do about that?" said Ron, yawning. "It's too late, isn't it? She got the job. She's here to say. Fudge will make sure of that." "Well," said Hermione tentatively, "you know, I was thinking today..." She shot a nervous look at Harry, and then plunged on. "I was thinking that maybe the time's come when we should just do it ourselves." "Do what ourselves?" said Harry suspiciously, still floating his hand in the essence of mertlap tentacles. "Well, learn defense against the dark arts ourselves," said Hermione. "Come off it," groaned Ron. "You want us to do extra work? Do you realize Harry and I are behind on homework again and it's only the second week?" "But this is much more important than homework," said Hermione. Harry and Ron goggled at her. "I didn't think there was anything in the universe more important than homework," said Ron. "Don't be silly, of course there is. See, like, how well do they know Hermione, you know? She clearly is self-righteous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She has a strong sense of moral indignation."
Mm-hmm.
"Don't be silly, of course there is," said Hermione, and Harry saw with an ominous feeling that her face was suddenly alight with a kind of fervor that Spew usually inspired in her. "It's about preparing ourselves, like Harry said in Umbridge's first lesson, for what's waiting out there. It's about making sure we can really defend ourselves. If we don't learn anything for a whole year..." "We can't do much by ourselves," said Ron in a defeated voice. "I mean, all right. We can go and look up jinxes in the library and try to practice them, I suppose." "No, I agree. We've gone past the stage where we can just learn things out of books," said Hermione. "We need a teacher, a proper one, who can show us how to use spells and correct us if we're going wrong." "If you're talking about Lupin," Harry began. "No, no, I'm not talking about Lupin," Hermione said. "He's too busy with the Order. And anyway, I think most of us would see him. The most we could see him is during Hogsmeade weekends, and that's not nearly enough." "Who then?" said Harry, frowning at her. Hermione heaved a very deep sigh. "Isn't it obvious?" she said. "I'm talking about you, Harry." There was a moment's silence. A light night breeze rattled through the window panes behind Ron, and the fire guttered. "About me what?" said Harry. "About you. I'm talking about you teaching us defense against the dark arts." Harry stared at her. He turned to Ron, ready to exchange the exasperated looks they sometimes shared when Hermione elaborated on far-fetched schemes like spew. To Harry's consternation, however, Ron did not look exasperated. He was frowning slightly, apparently thinking. And then he said, "That's an idea." "What's an idea?" said Harry. "You," said Ron, "teaching us to do it." "But..." Harry was grinning now, sure the pair of them were pulling his leg. "But I'm not a teacher, I can't." By the way, you know, for whatever they're going to say about what Harry's done, he doesn't actually know that much compared with them. Hermione's much better at this stuff than he is.
Just read.
I'm just saying.
He says that, too.
She is.
No, does he says that.
"Harry, you're the best in the year at Defense Against the Dark Arts," said Hermione. "Me?" said Harry, now grinning more broadly than ever. "No, I'm not. You've beaten me in every test." "Actually, I haven't," said Hermione coolly. "You beat me in our third year, the only year where we both sat the test and had a teacher who actually knew the subject. But I'm not talking about test results, Harry. Look what you've done." "How do you mean?" "You know what? I'm not sure I want someone this stupid teaching me," said Ron to Hermione, slightly smirking. He turned to Harry. "Let's think," he said, pulling a face like Goyle concentrating. "First year, you saved a stone from you-know-who." "That was luck. That wasn't skill." "And he's right." "Second year," Ron interrupted, "you killed the basilisk and destroyed Riddle." "Yeah, but if Fox hadn't turned up, he's right also." "Third year," said Ron, still louder, "you fought off about 100 Dementors at once. You know that was a fluke if the Time Turner hadn't." Now, that actually was something that he did. So he knows one spell, right?
"Okay, can you just read?"
"Last year," said Ron, almost shouting now, "you fought off you-know-who again." "Listen to me," said Harry, almost angrily now, because Ron and Hermione were both smirking. "Just listen to me, all right? It sounds great when you say it like that, but all that stuff was luck. I didn't know what I was doing half the time. I didn't plan any of it. I just did whatever I could think of, and I nearly always had help." Ron and Hermione were still smirking, and Harry felt his temper rise. He wasn't even sure why he was feeling so angry. "Don't just sit there grinning like you know better than I do. I was there, wasn't I?" he said heatedly. "I know what went on, all right? And I didn't get through any of it because I was brilliant at Defense Against the Dark Arts. I got through it because help came at the right time or because I guessed right, but I blundered through it all. I didn't have a clue what I was doing." Stop laughing! The bowl of Mirtlap essence fell to the floor and smashed. He became aware that he was on his feet, though he couldn't remember standing up. Crookshanks streaked away under a sofa, and Ron and Hermione's smiles vanished. "You don't know what it's like. You, neither of you, you've never had to face him, have you? You think it's just memorizing a bunch of spells and throwing them at him, like you're in class or something. The whole time you think there's nothing between you and dying except your own brain or guts or whatever. Like you can think straight when you know you're about a second from being murdered or tortured or watching your friends die. They've never taught us that in classes, but it's like to deal with that. You two sit here acting like I'm some clever little boy standing here alive, like Diggory was stupid, like he messed up. You don't get it, that it could easily have just been me, and it would have been Voldemort, and it would have been if Voldemort hadn't needed me." "We weren't saying anything like that, mate," said Ron, looking aghast. "We weren't having a go at Diggory. You've got the wrong end of the..." He looked helplessly at Hermione, whose face was stricken. "Harry," she said timidly, "don't you see? This is exactly why we need you. We need to know what it's really like facing Voldemort." It was the first time she'd ever said Voldemort's name, and it was this, more than anything else, that calmed Harry. Still breathing hard, he sank back into his chair, became aware that as he did so, that his hand was throbbing horribly again. He wished he hadn't smashed the bowl of Mirtlap essence. "Well, think about it," said Hermione quietly. "Please?" Harry couldn't think of anything to say. He was feeling ashamed of his outburst already. He nodded, hardly aware of what he was agreeing to. Hermione stood up. "Well, I'm off to bed," she said in a voice that was clearly as natural as she could make it. "Night." Ron had gotten to his feet, too. "Coming?" he said awkwardly to Harry. "Yeah," said Harry. "In a minute. I'll just clear this up." He indicated the smashed bowl on the floor. Ron nodded and left. "Riparo," said Harry, pointing his wand at the broken pieces of china. They flew back together, good as new, but there was no returning the Myrtleff essence to the bowl. He was suddenly so tired that he was tempted to sink back into his armchair and sleep there. But instead, he got to his feet and followed Ron upstairs. His restless night was punctuated once more by dreams of long corridors and locked doors, and he awoke the next day with his scar prickling again. And that's the end of chapter 15. You like that?
Yes.
You like to read kitten? Do your kitten dance. It's a kitten. She's doing a kitten dance. She's a cute kitten. I love you, kitten. I want you to have a good night's sleep when you're listening to this later, because you're so adorable. I love you so much. Sleep well. Good night.